Jim?
Yeah, first, thank you for a wonderful report. Great report.
Thank you.
I wanted to just, I think the idea of driving people to the web is excellent. And when you get to your, when you talk about monthly installments and so forth, is that also done by credit card?
Yes.
And how is that working?
Very well.
Okay.
It's nearly 100% fulfillment. I mean, the only time we don't fulfill on that is if somebody, you know, cancels their card. You know, so the more people we can get over to the credit card, even with the installments, it's nearly 100%. It's exactly why where I was, it was 97%. It's because we moved as many people over to credit card as possible. And the pitch and the philosophy behind it isn't to get you to use your credit card, because I know that's, you know, these days somewhat controversial, but it's to make sure you don't forget. You know, I've forgotten to pay my pledge bills as well. It's just human nature.
Have you figured out yet how to distinguish between the your regular donors, regular supporters, and those passerbys?
And those that?
Passerbys. People.
Oh,
who just,
scanners. Yeah. The third and fourth choice. Well, our LSB really wants us to do a better job at gathering data during the fund drives, which is a bit of a dilemma because we're overburdening our membership department with thank you gifts, and the more thank you gifts they have to keep track of, the less likely they can do what they were designed to do. So we're eventually going to get there within this drive and the next drive where we can ask those types of questions of our listeners. What we get is just feedback, you know, that we get from our awesome volunteers who, you know, engage them. And then we just try to compare that to what Arbitron says about how many second choices, how many third choices, how many fourth choices, and then we're ultimately guessing. But from that information and extrapolating what we can, many of us feel that we are sometimes recruiting the wrong people. And I know this because we will do certain things during a fund drive. We'll deliver certain content. We'll put on certain types of shows that are meant to drum up money and interest, and then we don't follow up after the fund drive. We go back to our thing. So it's a balance as far as how to make sure that we bring in the right group of people. But we'll eventually get that information when we finally can free up the membership department to do what they were designed to do.
Thank you.
A few?
Okay. First of all, I too want to thank you for an exciting and thoughtful report.
Thank you.
And to congratulate you on a successful tenure to date. I recall when you got hired and people kind of held their breath to see if it was going to work. So we're all exhaling at this point.
Nice. Thank you.
I'm interested in the holiday hunger drive that you did.
Right.
You raised $50,000. So did part of the money go to Food Not Bombs?
What we would have normally spent on a thank you gift, like a CD or a book, we instead purchased meals through Food Not Bombs.
Okay.
So we cut them a check and you know, made sure and are still making sure that that money is being used for the meals. But Food Not Bombs is a reputable organization. We are interfacing with Hunger Action LA, which is an advocacy group that sort of acts as the brain center for all the different Food Not Bombs chapters.
Okay.
So, in other words, people really, I think, embrace this idea of taking what would have gone to their thank you gift, this piece of plastic or a book, and redistributed their thank you gift to somebody who needed it.
So you would give them like $10 or $15?
10% of the pledge,
because
that's usually what we budget for a thank you gift. Now, I've brought that percentage down a little bit, but because there was no shipping and handling to deal with, we didn't have to process any thank you gift, it ultimately comes out to about the same.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Grace?
Yeah, Sean. I really want to thank you and the rest of the staff. You came on, what, 6 months ago or so?
I'm not counting, but 7 months Monday.
Okay. Okay, and I want to say that I talked to a lot of people on staff, volunteer, paid and unpaid staff, and I listen to the station. It sounds much better. The staff morale is way up. I think you're doing a terrific job. You did a terrific job with the painful layoffs that had to be done. You did it more smoothly than I could have imagined. The station was in the doldrums before you got there. It's now completely changed. I think the example of what you've done and the rest of the staff pulling together at KPFK have done is incredible, and I think it's an example of what we can do with the whole network. We were, just to let you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, we had eaten through $450,000 in reserves, and we were $860,000 in debt to the national office. Of that long-term debt, 40% was legal or legal-related. And now, you know, there's not that kind of atmosphere at the station anymore. It's much better. I thank you. I bow down to you.
Not necessary.
And I think you're an example of hope for this whole network. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grace. Boy, this is going to be rough next week.
I wanted to comment on the layoff thing also, because I know it was hard for us as a station to lay people off, because these people worked for were underpaid to start with, and then worked their butts off, and then were laid off, and some of those people who were laid off are still working for mm-hmm. nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a heck of a sacrifice on their part. So it wasn't an easy thing to do for anybody. The other thing. I wanted to talk about was the Food Not Bomb program that you came up with. Was a great idea, and what was so brilliant about this is that there was the community. I mean, we're the community station, and we were actually doing something really well for the community, and it ended up being a win-win situation. And because of the success of that, I think we may be able to come up with other ideas that could be a win-win situation as well. And lastly, it has always bothered me when I hear about the fact that, you know, we aren't collecting a higher amount of our pledges, and knowing that every 10% of a pledge represents $100,000, it seems so wasteful for me. And I thought a good idea would be to hire someone, you know, I don't know, $30,000 a year to collect $600,000, that's a big deal, you know, or $300,000, that's a big savings if they were able to actually do it, or whether we can pay them with commission or something. But there has to be some way to be more efficient with that at the end of the day.
I agree. There are several professional organizations that do this. A lot of it, and the reason that I mentioned that is a lot of this has to do with volume. There's that represents thousands of people. Getting a hold of them, tracking them down, it's a really, really big job. So we do need to consider if we're going to go with, I think, ComNet, what are they called? There's one very well known out of Oregon that works with all the public radio stations, and there's several others. I think KPFA was possibly looking at using the one in Oregon to retrieve unfulfilled pledges. So we need to do that. We absolutely need to do that. And we will. It's just a matter of getting out of this current situation financially, getting on stable ground, having that money to invest properly in a smart way. And I think that you're right. That would be very smart to invest money in that.
Carolyn?
Yeah. I want to thank you very much to Carolyn Burden from BAI. My name card is on the floor.
Yeah, where is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wondering the move to collect pledges or convert pledges to credit cards originated, if I understand, from our station, from Steve Brown, who proposed that originally sometime. And I'm wondering what sort of cross-fertilization there is beyond that. You've been very successful. Do you and the other GMs talk? Do you share these ideas?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, tomorrow we're going to talk about some of our plans. We talk all the time now. I think we have a really good working relationship. And we've begun really sharing our experiences, and we're all literally going through the same thing all over the place. It's remarkable. The details are a little different, but the story is the same. You know, I speak to each one of them often, Tony and Ron and Dwayne and Lem and Brian. So as far as the credit card push, we've talked about that, absolutely. And I did see that in that report that you're referring to. And it is something that I think is practiced nationwide. And it's a solid practice.
That's good. I'm just wondering if there's anything else you shared.
You'll see it in the report tomorrow.
Great.
It's a whole bunch of stuff.
I'm looking for it. Thank you.
Dan?
Okay. Sean, I think it's a really great report. I'm sure it's exciting for everyone to hear about how well you're doing financially, as well as what I think are really exciting programming innovations, and I hope that those changes are picked up around the network. I have two questions about the online piece. It's very interesting. Some of it I just don't understand. When you say streaming capacity is up by 500%, it's 500% of what is up?
Well, we before we did this, we had a cap of 500 people. Only 500 people could get on simultaneously.
On the website?
Yeah, because you have to buy bandwidth, basically. So we were able to reduce the cost of that bandwidth by 50% and go somewhere else, spend 50% less with them, and go up 500% on our capacity.
So you have 2,500 people.
Right. Okay. And we're already maxing out there.
Okay. And then the other question is, on the webcasting, where you're getting hundreds of thousands of people to download a show, do you have any idea why and who those people are?
Yeah. The one that I'm – and there are others, but the one that I'm referring to was a edition of Global Village. It's a Friday edition, and Global Village is a music program. And there was a particular program that day that revolved around a well-known Brazilian act. Our hosts and our staff, all very talented, got the word out that this was happening, that this particular act, a very well-known act, was on KPFK, and that went out globally, virally.
Twitter.
And people found us in 500,000 downloads.
So in Brazil or?
Worldwide.
Thailand?
Worldwide. All four corners of the world.
That's amazing.
I know. When I first heard it, I didn't think the figures are accurate, but I've checked and they are.
Wendy's next, and then Susan, and then Sean.
Wendy.
You know, we just get them each to pay $1.
Exactly.
That's kind of my thing. I want lots of people to pay $1,
yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So when you're talking about retention and the different kinds of listeners that pledge during a drive, and like the core listeners and the drive-bys, and you said something about how you would market to them, pitch to them differently.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how?
Sure. I mean, we could go through a whole pitch session. There's different types of language you use when you're talking to people that you know are ready to pledge. So if I said to you, Wendy, you've got a program. We think we know how many people are exclusive listeners, and we think we know how many people are first choice with you. There's a room of them over here. There's 1,000 of them. What we do know then is that they listen to you often. They understand what you're doing. They value you. They value what you're doing. They value your content. So you don't have to put the if in there. You don't have to say, if you like my show, if you know, you get rid of that, and you can speak to them directly. You also can give them less in terms of thank you gifts, because they're pledging for you to stay on the air, and if you speak to them about that, I'm on the air because of KPFK, I'm on the air because of KPFT, because of Pacifica. This is the kind of thing we do. This is what we're all about, this show. And it's so important that you call in now and pledge. And so you're reaching them on the right level. You're plucking the right strings as opposed to the wrong strings, which is here's some shiny stuff and some great stuff that you wouldn't get anywhere else, and it's Home Shopping Network. And, you know, and so now you're reaching scanners. People are like, oh, what a cool gift. I had no idea if I drank green stuff, I would be really strong.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you heard that Ira Glass in the last couple of weeks has had this thing where he asks you to turn in your friends that you know listen to the show every week and have never pledged, and then he calls them up.
That's awesome.
And records it and
That's
plays
great.
It on the radio.
That's great.
And of course they're all, wow, Ira Glass is calling me, so of course they're going to pledge. You know, it's just
right. So your first choice and your exclusives get it. They get it. They're just looking for the out, like everybody. It's an honor system. I'll wait until they're telling me they're going off the air. Then I'll go ahead and do it. But if you speak to them on the right level with the right language, you're leading them. They're your flock. They'll come if you tell them the right things. But if you're worried about getting everybody in, people who aren't ready yet mentally, then you throw out all these shiny things and you get the wrong people. You get second, third, fourth, and scanners.
Thank you.
Sure.
Susan?
Yeah, first I would like to speak to the honor of KPFT, and we have been using credit cards for a long time, Carolyn, and I'm not sure that y'all pioneered that. Anyway, and the earth no longer has just four corners. I'm also intrigued by this whole thing of speaking to, you know, your listeners, to the core listeners, because I feel as though that's really what we do. And we have the problem that we are going back to the same well over and over and over again, and I think we get a lot of donor fatigue, and we have a relatively high dollar donation per person. Mm-hmm. And we are, and I think that we're having trouble understanding how to really broaden the listener base, mm-hmm. in a really engaged way.
Right.
And the other thing is, I think we've been using a lot of Pacifica Radio Archives as premiums, and also to preempt. I'm not sure how well that has worked or not, but one of the things that it does do is it cuts down the cost of premiums, mm-hmm. which is a big plus, and mm-hmm. it also, I don't know, gives a little bit of respite to folks who are having to, you know, generate a lot of dollars off of their shows. Mm-hmm. So we have to do something different. I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but I'm interested in what your experience is on all of this. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say, as far as you're going back to the same well, a healthy station has around 30% of its listenership at exclusive or first choice. So if you're doing the right thing, 30% of your listeners are in that category. So if you're doing 10% of your cum, you probably have a whole lot more you can get out of your exclusives and your first choices. So there's probably another 20% in there you can really work on, I think. But if we're not at 30%, which we aren't, I know Kay isn't, I imagine the other stations are similar, it's program director's job and my job, PD and GM, to get that to change, to get the cum up and to get loyalty up, which then creates a larger base of exclusives and first choices. So it's kind of chicken and egg. Where do you start? Fundraising is second. First is us getting those numbers where they should be.
Sean Casey?
Yeah, because of this increase in bandwidth where we've gone, and let me get my numbers straight, we've gone from 500 to
2,500.
To 2,500. When I'm trying to get on when I'm trying to get on KPFK through my computer at 9 or 10 in the morning, is it because 2,500 people beat me out there?
You're having problems getting on the stream?
Yeah, getting on the stream.
It might be.
Because that way I won't be compelled to call the station and go, what's going on?
Yeah,
I should assume that it's just we've loaded up our bandwidth.
It could be. It seems to me what we're experiencing is every time we lift the ceiling, we meet the ceiling.
Right, yeah.
So
that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Yeah.
It shows that we have interest in our content and that we have ways to distribute it all over the place, where our signal's good, where our signal's bad, and all over the world.
I'll stop bothering Jonathan and Ollie then.
They're just looking for more money to lift that ceiling.
Carolyn.
I just wanted to correct maybe a misinterpretation or misunderstanding of what I said. I wasn't talking about just credit card use. I was talking about the tactic of calling cash pledgers to urge them to convert the week after.
Sure.
Which I know you've done too.
Yes.
Say that again.
The people who pledge in credit cards, of course, we get it instantly. But if people call and pledge and ask for an invoice, and you call them within a few days or a week, the practice is, and ask them if they would consider converting to credit cards, many often do. And that's one way of raising the fulfillment rate. Yeah.
Sean, I had a question. What sorts of ways of standardized approaches to evaluating current and potential programming? I mean, how are you going to do that other than Arbitrons?
Well, we're talking about evaluating our current programming, whether it, you know, fits the mission, whether it's, you know, ready to be refreshed, revitalized, changed out. Is it fundraising well? Are we getting results out of it that we're looking for? What are the expectations? That's what I'm referring to, that we're working with the local board on ways to evaluate. You know, what's fair? How do we involve our listeners in that process? And we've just scratched the surface. As you can probably imagine, you know, committee meetings. There's a lot of input. There's a lot of opinions. A lot of people need to be heard. So we're meeting regularly with that committee. And we've both the general manager, as you were, both the program director and myself have offered up what we believe are logical and reasonable ways to do that. We haven't yet adopted anything.
And the stream on the internet, are you promoting that at all on the air, or that's,
oh yeah,
you are promoting it?
Yes.
Right. Jay,
do you promote it in other venues as well, like websites, popular
yes.
blogs?
Yes, and we with our banner, where we can get it placed on other sites, we ask that we create a link directly to the live stream.
Yeah, I always thought it'd be a great idea to have something like that on the big blogs like Daily Kos or something, mm-hmm. that have so many mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands, millions of viewers.
Right.
Are there any other questions? David.
As an affiliate station, we just instituted, we've only been on the air 3 years, we instituted a one-year contract with programmers. Do you have that in place, and do you have like an annual review?
That's exactly what we're working towards now, within a process with the Programming Oversight Committee. We have a program council as well, so we're working through that now, exactly the same issues.
Okay, Sean, thanks very much.
Sure.
I think it's thank you. We have 40 minutes for public comment. Yes, please come to if we didn't send a list around, so if you'll just line up. If there's somebody who's would find it hard to stand and wait, please raise your hand. We'll make a note, and we'll put you in line where you don't have to get up. No. Okay.
Okay. My name is Steve Zeltzer. I'm with KPFA.
Let's see. 3-4 minutes. Something.
Okay. I was with the labor collective at KPFA, and I think that the issues facing people in the United States are immense. There's a mass economic collapse going on. Millions of people are being thrown out of work. So the working class and minorities in this country are under the gun. It's a radical emergency in this country. Now, KPFA at Pacifica has to start addressing that on a national level. And then we can really raise our support and deal with the issues that people are facing in this country. That's how I think we're going to really solve this crisis and become a network of people of this country, which is what we want it to be, so people listen throughout this country. So I see this as part of a community, a national community broadcast network for national programming of community programmers within the Pacifica network all contributing together. For example, the AFL-CIO is having a convention in September in Pittsburgh, have a national day of programming on issues facing the working class throughout the country, and get programmers from around the country to contribute to that in a collective way, and then publicize it ahead of time nationally, market it, get the labor movement to market it. There's going to be a national day of programming on Pacifica to deal with these issues facing the working class. Then we will start to reach millions of people who are looking for real programming on the issues facing them in this country. That's how I see part of the process of building up Pacifica and the different networks. And May Day, Martin Luther King Day, these are days that we can really have national programming and get all the community programmers involved nationally. The other problem, I think, is accountability. And this is a touchy issue, but we have to have accountability as a network. And frankly, there are some things that have gone on that are not accountable. At the KPFA, despite the vote of this board to recognize the unpaid staff organization, the manager has rejected that. This is unacceptable. If this board says that an unpaid staff organization has to be recognized and the manager ignores that, they got to be removed. Otherwise, who is responsible? Who's accountable to what's going on? Transparency, and the same with Lonnie Hicks and people disappearing, no explanation. The board just recently, some of these board members voted to cancel the board meetings. We have monthly board meetings. They voted to cancel them and say, we don't need monthly board meetings. We're going to be doing committee work. This is not transparency. This is not accountability. That's what some of the people on the KPFA board who are the former chair are doing. They're shutting down accountability. We need also...
That's about time. That's three or four minutes.
Okay, well, last point, and that is that as far as the offer of the council to resign from Pacifica, I say you should accept that offer. He intervened in the election illegally. He has a history of conflicts of interest, and I believe that he should not be the board director. He could have been sued. It would have cost his foundation more money, but you have to have somebody as counsel who is independent and not intervening in the elections at KPFA against the bylaws of this foundation. Thank you.
I just like a show of hands about how many people want to make a comment so I can... Okay, that's great. And how much time can we allot, assuming we have... Five on the list? Okay, so 3 or 4 minutes is fine.
You know there's
going to
be a lot more people.
I know, and 3 or 4 minutes times five is only 20, and we have 30. So,
okay.
Three minutes.
Okay, this is Bernie Eisenberg again. I'm going to be very focused now. I'm not going to talk about issues. I'm talking about the agenda. So if you look at your agenda, please, because tomorrow morning we're probably going to be talking about revising the agenda. And here's what our listener group would like to see. They would like to see tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. public comment switched with 11:15 a.m. report from general manager's meeting. We would like to comment after we hear from the general manager's meeting, not before. Okay? So think about that. Then after the finance report and we find out a little bit more exposure about what's going on here in Pacifica, we would like to add a 30-minute minimum public comment session. So that would push the dinner break up to 6:30 and the closed session up by another 30 minutes to 7:30. Please consider those. You need to get feedback from listeners on issues, not comments before issues are raised. Thank you.
I wasn't here until 6 o'clock, so I don't know if other people welcomed you all to Los Angeles, but I would like to welcome you, especially those of you from the East who can appreciate the weather change. I'm going to make some comments tomorrow, several of us who were on the National Programming Committee. I first want to reiterate what Bernie said. The practice that we've adopted on the KPFK LSB for several years now is that before we take a vote, we hear listener comment, and then we vote. I'm very concerned. I want to thank all the listeners who are here. It's phenomenal since we only had 1 week notice, folks, of the agenda, the times, and that is truly not acceptable. I know you're a board in transition, but we have to start now with transparency. It was appalling to all of us to discover, for instance, that we were not told the real conditions of the loan. I mean, this is truly not acceptable, and I hope that this new board begins to act in a fashion, first of all, to keep us all informed. I'm an unpaid staff member. I'm part of a collective that produces Radio Intifada on KPFK. We know a little bit more because we're around the station, but our listeners don't know what's happening, and anything any serious decisions have to be brought to our listeners. That's what we're about. Just very quickly, one last comment, but I'm going to address this more tomorrow as a member of the National Programming Committee. Several of us who've been on that committee are going to address this. I hope that we do not lose sight of the fact that our programs must be driven primarily by our mission, not by what is going to attract the most number of people. It's fine if they attract a lot of people, as long as they are driven by the mission. Our listenership went way up at the beginning of the war on Iraq. I suspect once we get our Arbitron ratings, those stations that did all that special programming after the massacres in Gaza, I will bet you anything that our listenership went way up. That's what our our Pacifica listeners expect of us. That's the kind of programming they expect of us. And I hope, as we talk about programming, that people really keep that uppermost in their minds. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bella DeSoto. And I want to caution what was spoken about the the live stream. Based on the information that Sean Heitkamper illuminated, 3 a.m., 6 a.m., and 11 a.m., and I know some of you had questions on this because you're not too familiar with the live streaming. Live streaming is the future, is not really is now, and is going to expand even more tomorrow. However, we have a huge digital divide in the United States, hardly ever spoken about. Most people do not have computers. Most people cannot even get to a library, and the libraries, as we know, have been closing earlier and earlier. While we are speaking of the mission, we are losing sight of the people that have no internet. How do we reach to these people? Why is it that KPFK, and I'm sure this is shared by all the other stations, has never developed, and believe me, 2.5 years sitting in the outreach committee trying to work to push for a budget. A budget, imagine that, for outreach. Never once. We were promised this number, it was taken away. The next week it was another number, it was taken away. So if outreach is not in the utmost of importance in all of our agendas, then how can we outreach to the whole pie when we are slicing the pie selectively and we're saying, well, we're going to spend all our resources and attention on the web streaming, the technology. Well, then let's talk about technology. Why is it that right now KPFK has lost its signal on iTunes? When I am at work, I am listening to C-SPAN on iTunes. I am listening to Air America. I am listening to KPFA. I am listening to KPFK. KPFK is in and out all the time. Still has not been able to be solved. Why is that? Okay, let's talk about Adobe Flash. And Adobe Flash, all you got to do is download that. You can see Democracy Now! To your heart's content on your computer while you are at work or listen to it. The other thing is we're losing sight of our finances. I created the first balance sheet in 2005. Well, no one else had seen the numbers. Someone actually gave it to me underhand because I am a bookkeeper. So I disagree with you, Aaron. I disagree with anybody here that thinks that there is transparency. There is no transparency. This is why we are here today. This is why we are here today. We don't have a chaos. We are beyond that. There is not to be alone. We have got to reconstruct and redirect and regroup. How do we outreach to those people whose voices are not heard? I have spoken to management here since 2003 when the new PD came in, and I urged them, I gave them a grid suggestion. Please, science, technology, free thinking programming, I hear more and more religion instead. It sickens me. And now we have the Democrats who control everything.
You're past time.
Real quick, and I want to say thank you very much for being here, but keep in mind everything I've said because it's so, so critical.
Yeah, that's actually very important, transparency. I'm Ian Johnson, former programmer. I do some stuff as a board op, and I'm on the local station board here at KPFK. We do not have transparency at any level in the network, obviously. This loan came up. It turned out there was a balloon payment that would have made it easy for the building to just disappear, you know, with a couple of short fund drives or whatever. So, you know, they've made the bankruptcy laws quick to foreclose. So you really don't want to do that kind of thing, especially not if you're going to go for some sort of consulting where the consulting is not doing, like, you know, a PR work to try and repair the brand of Pacifica and, in fact, to, you know, do market research or something where you would literally try and find out why it is your audience has drifted away from you. Because from 2000 to 2004, right, 2000 when we had the turnover or shortly thereafter, and, you know, maybe a little before, we started sort of building audience, but we really started doing the mission. It really became the only thing we had. And I think a lot of the people who had been there who weren't with the mission had kind of drifted away, and there was some vacuum and people filled in who weren't, you know, on some sort of personal aggrandizement agenda, some sort of star power agenda. And so we literally built audience till 2004. That's, you know, more than 3 years. And all of a sudden, you know, we started getting more conservative, a bunch of people got removed, a bunch of new people put in, and it wasn't done with any respect to what people wanted to listen to. So, you know, even if it hit a couple, you know, token spots of this and that, well, we're being diverse and we're talking about X and Y issue, you know, it wasn't done with any sort of regard to listenability. You know, you really have to think about how it sounds to people, you know, and I'm not like a super professional guy on the radio in terms of, you know, I'm willing to let there be some noise in the room because I'm literally being the engineer and stuff when I do it. But I've never had anyone complain about it, you know. I've had people say it was the greatest show they ever heard or some things like that, but not that, hey, I heard, you know, your chair creaking while you were, you know, grabbing a CD while you were talking, you know. People are kind of impressed by that, and they don't usually care so much. But when we talk about the transparency issue, you know, our last elections, there was a problem with the rules where some people didn't even know that there was an option that you could do this mailer. So this $7,000 showed up from somewhere we don't know, and it kind of steered things, I think, in the wrong direction in some respects in our local politics. And we still don't – there were a bunch of rules broken. No one was ever held accountable for that. People should have been removed from the air for the length of the elections
that's
should have been removed from the air permanently under some interpretations of the rules, and nothing happened. And so, you know, that's a problem.
Hello? My name is Jose Sosa from the Outreach Committee. I want to know if we can discuss tomorrow the programming on Spanish, because we don't have continuation in the program. We only have 1.5 hours Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But we don't have nothing in Friday and Sunday. We just want that adjustment to have a continuation to ask the people, since we have a big population of Spanish speaking in the area, in the city, and it's very important for you and for us to collect, to have a income, or to have a, you know, ask for donations. And that is important to have a program in Friday. We can adjust Friday or on Sunday too, 1 hour or 1 hour and a half, same as the other days in the week. But we can adjust the same amount of time, 1 hour and a half, if everybody agrees with that.
Rotation,
yes. But another thing, I am inclined to, if we can have traduction, because we need traduction for the program and Democracy Now to traduce to the Spanish-speaking audience, to create the conscience and to develop, in case we want to grow in the conscience of the people. Because we have a crisis here, economic crisis, and we have to attack this crisis, because if don't, the crisis is going to be over us. We are for peace. We are for peace. But if we don't counter-react the war, the war is going to be over us, because you see they're still moving in. I am talking with a little bit, 1 minute for Middle East, you see. The war continues there. So we got to know if we really enjoy and we want the peace. And if we are really attacking the racism, because we have to deal with that things, even if we don't like it, some maybe don't like. But we want to attack that problem, especially racism and the other one, war. So I don't want to take your time. So I want tomorrow to have a discussion in that programming, to have a continuation in the so Friday and Sunday, in case we can discuss tomorrow. I'm going to be tomorrow here. In case we have to make a motion, we make the motion tomorrow. And Sunday, if we decide, or you want to decide, we can discuss it. Thank you very much.
And thank you, keeping to the time.
Hi, my name's Israel Foyer. I'm on the local station board, and I've been around since before KPFK went on the air. And I recall at the last meeting, I said a few things and got a lot of assent, but hasn't been any follow-through. And this is true of many other listeners. I'm not saying we should listen to everybody on everything, but if change is in the air, and you don't have to be a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or a third-party person, if change is in the air, we need to be open to change as well as carrying on the good traditions from the past. One of them I would suggest is if someone who's a listener says something which you feel ought to be followed up or responded to or is noteworthy, that one of the members of the board should request the secretary just to put a little line in there, just a little line. Otherwise, it's like coming to these meetings and our local meetings too, inventing, some people loudly, others quietly. It doesn't matter. People are respectful usually, but then there's no follow-up. So I want to suggest something which I mentioned before, previous meeting, mentioned it again. There should be note taken of a board member's or a listener's suggestion, comment, criticism, whatever it is, that's worth following up and then follow up. That would be a notable change, and quite seriously. The other thing is, today we had a presentation by Casey McFaul for a board training, which went very well. It was very clear, was well respected and responded to, but, dare I say this, the follow-up in the board itself was as if nothing had happened or was said. Now, this is not to try to point fingers, just to say that unless these things are assimilated and practiced and rehearsed and followed up, perhaps with someone else meeting with you occasionally during a meeting, saying, you know, we need to say to have better listening. Something to so that we can cut down on the decibels and increase the performance. Because this board has a mighty, mighty big job, as we all know. The buck, if there is a buck left, ends here. And this board needs to take responsibility seriously, and you've heard this before. My saying so is no better than someone else saying so, unless there's some implementation of these lessons and these suggestions, whether it's from an outside trainer, from one of the board members, or from a listener. So some note, I know minutes of a board usually are motions and as such. You can't verbatim put everything down, but if anything comes up which is noteworthy to any member of the board, I suggest you request the secretary, forgive me for burdening you more, to make a note of it, just one line, and then follow up on that. Just that one idea alone would represent a significant change in this board's action and exercise of its responsibility. Is my time up?
Yes, just so.
To be continued.
Thanks for taking just the right time.
Hi, good evening. I'm Mary Altman. I guess I'm what you'd call a fourth-tier listener because I bought Heitgeist for $50. I didn't return it, though, so that's good. But my point is that there's not enough content on the public radio of value. I mean, we had 9/11 happen, which was like our Reichstag burning down.
Right.
There's like a fire going on here with what's going on with our president and a lot of information not known about him, and everyone's on the Obama bandwagon, and there's not enough content in the public radio for people like me to waste my time. I'll go to the internet and get my my information there. So I just want to let you know that you need to...
Political content, you're saying?
Yeah.
Analysis.
Yeah. So... anyhow, but I just want to thank everyone because I think you're doing a really wonderful job, and I just see so many caring, wonderful people here that are doing nonprofit work, and it's just so important. So thanks so much.
Good evening, everyone. Many of you know me. I'm Richard Phelps. I'm former chair of the KPFA LSB. I've been a 34-year dedicated KPFA Pacifica listener. I worked AM and FM radio when I was a young man. I care about this network tremendously because I think it's one of the few places that, you know, we can really try to educate and activate people as our society's crumbling apart. There's been a lot of discussion about the mission tonight, and I'm really worried about some things that are happening at KPFA, and I'm going to explain that to you. How many people here think honesty has got to be a prime thing of what we do with our listeners? Anybody think we shouldn't be honest with our listeners? Well, folks, that's not happening at KPFA. When they're doing fund drives now, they're saying, you can get this speech. This is the only place you can hear it. But guess what? You can only hear it if you pay $60 or $100 for it. Here's a list of 40 speeches and programs. I'll give you one of these. I read them off before at another meeting that have been sold and not played on KPFA in the last 2.5-3 years. This is the pattern of the management. We've lost 5,000 subscribers at the same time that management's been doing this. And it's not just Lemon Regio. It's a management group. And I can explain that to you. It's a group of people. And, you know, some of the people change over time, but it's the same philosophy. But now what they're doing is they are, in the most corporate capitalist way, creating scarcity to make money. That's wrong. I want to read you one of our bylaws, a section of it. Article 1, Section 2, in part. In radio broadcasting operations to promote the full distribution of public information. That means when Michael Eric Dyson gives a speech in April in KPFA, it should be on the air the next week for everybody to hear, not sold 3 weeks later for $75. We're creating two classes of listeners up there. That's wrong. I've fought class society my whole fucking life. And now this damn station that I love is perpetuating it. I learned about this from one of my clients, happened to be a lawyer. I was representing this woman. She was a school teacher in a low-income school district. And I was just, I talked to everybody about KPFA. When I'm at a war demonstration, wherever I might talk to them about it, you know, hey, do you listen? Come on, get involved. And this woman said to me, yeah, I like to listen, but, you know, I can't afford to buy all those speeches. I'd love to play them for my kids in my middle school classes. And I said, well, aren't they in the archives? She said, I don't think so. I looked. And I went and did the research. And they're not. What's in the archives is the pitch part with the 20, 30-minute tease portion. That's it. With the announcer saying, this is the only place you can hear this. I've had them say, I've got documents and all this stuff. I don't fool around, okay? I keep track of everything. And there's places where they'll say, you know, the only place you can get this there's a program about black history. I can't remember the exact name of it. The Long Road. Anyway, they said, you can't get this anyplace else. 10 minutes after I heard that, I found it online for $35, $40, and they're selling it for $100. I don't care if you want to sell that to people, but don't lie to them. You know, don't say this is the only, you know, that's commercial hype. We have to be honest with our people. So that when we say to them, we need your help, they know, yeah, you lied to me last week. We just can't do this. We can't become
Richard,
commercial.
That's time.
Thank you. But we've got to follow the mission, and we've got to deliver the speeches and programs to people, not sell them to them. I don't care if we sell them as long as we play them. That's fine. But you got to play them for everybody.
Yeah, hi. My name is John Wenger. We should think we're a little higher. I'm afraid I have some tough love for you. Let's talk about the financials of the network. I've been on the Finance Committee at KPFK for about 6 years now, and we've been trying to get edited. We need to get audited financial reports. We finally turned it around here. We now get it from our own station, but we don't get it from the rest of the network. And there's a big problem with the national office. The national office, I don't want to name names, but the national office does not give us timely information. We do not have visibility at KPFK into any of the other four stations. This has been a problem for 6 years now. The problem has been brought up to the PNB for years and years, and nothing gets done. I understand the politics. The politics has to do with basically two things, allegiances over support for programming, existing programming, keeping the programming stale around the network, and along racial support lines. And, you know, those are nice things to do if it doesn't put the network at risk. But it does because we do not have visibility into the situation. Now, I understand that at WBI, which now owes $860,000 to the national office and is on average losing $30,000 per month, only lost $20,000 last month, I hear, but it's only rumor. And the facts I have out of WBI are really a couple months old, three more. I did see a thing that they were $176,000 short for some fundraising thing in October of last year. But there's a problem there. We do not have visibility into the network. And I'm a guy on the Finance Committee who cares about the numbers. And you guys are on the PNB who have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure the network does not go broke. So, we need these statements. We need them monthly. We need them from all the stations monthly in electronic form. We need audited stations in electronic form. I hope we get it this tomorrow or the next day we have in reports. Guess what? They're going to come in paper, mainly auditable, mainly PowerPoint forms. They will not be in electronic form. That's my prediction, unless the word gets out. But if you don't get them in electronic form, we should consider direct action against the people who fail to give you the information you need to do your fiduciary responsibility. So what have I left out here? I suggest that if you're concerned about a hemorrhaging of $30,000 per month, putting the whole network at risk, that you direct the people at WBI to fix the problem and to give you a written action plan to solve it. And if you don't get it, you know, I don't know, you can't lay people off until, and you have to do the labor thing and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it needs to be a written plan. I know maybe you can't break the lease. I don't know. That needs to be looked into. But with regard to the salaries, you need to figure out a way to get the cost down and stop hemorrhaging 30K. Sean Heitkamper's report was fine, but he didn't budget for the fact that K and A, Berkeley and LA have to now budget for carrying New York City. And they're the biggest market in the country. They should not require us to carry them. So, you know, fix the programming, do whatever it takes. But tell him to fix it. And if he doesn't fix it, fast, terminate him. Because we do not have an ED now in the national office.
That's time.
Okay, well, here's a couple more thoughts.
No. It's really time.
Wait.
Just a couple of more thoughts. You need to give me a warning.
I was going like this.
I'm sorry I didn't hear you. If you had said something in 30 seconds, I could have summarized. So give me 30 seconds, please. That's reasonable. You don't have a national office right now, so you don't have an ED to stop you from firing somebody. The PNB can fire anybody they want right now, so look to it. The directors are personally responsible. If this network goes bankrupt, the listeners will come after you and sue you for your houses. Think about it. You won't have a council to protect you. That's it. Please consider what I've said. I'm done.
Okay, I'm the antidote to the vitriol or the truth speaking. So I'm aware that there are problems throughout the network. And if you say, you know, that there are factions, the factions are repeated in every single station. And also, we at K, through a lot of work and a lot of, you know, things like Sean Heitkamper didn't mention that we have a comments line for our listeners, and the comments are responded to, and it was an important thing to do that because they always get a response rather than just going into the black hole, you know. And we worked very hard on the program council to get listener input to programming, and that's beginning to show results, and I think every station can do that. But you do have to trust your listeners. We trust you to do what's right for us, so please trust us also. And we love you, you know, in the same way. I think that every single one of you has more in common than in angriness at each other, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have that. And we know it. And we will support you if you tell us the truth. And you have to tell us in a timely manner. And we will support you and organize and work things. I think there's also, you can look to us for help as well. And I think also there are other ways than mortgaging the building. We're solving a programming problem with national programming, apparently, by, for the reason of financial stress, which is not the right way to do things. Because the mission and programming should be driven.
Who gives you the response? I'd like to know.
Well, we have a committee that is assigned from including LSB people that specifically call back and also are responsible to do email responses, if that's the method they communicated with.
First,
so,
they get a canned response,
right.
And then they get investigated.
They have an auto response, and then they have a personal one, both. So they feel that they've been responded to, which is a big problem. Yes, acknowledged that their, input is legitimate and heard. Because the big thing before was, especially around bylaws issues, when we were working on that, and we did. The bylaws are working as far as I'm concerned, even though they are pesky, and that's true. And, they do slow you down sometimes, which is exactly what we intended. And also to have accountability and transparency. So as far as we're concerned, the bylaws do work, and
not enough,
and we need some changes there, yes, including the election cycle, which is important, because we need more responses. We don't need to, have, like in WPFW, we need absolute, fulfilling that quorum many times over in every single station. And then you will have no problem with your core listeners. You will have them there for you. And they will gladly put out money. And I think if you organized across the network entirely, at all five stations to come clean with the listeners, they would, especially the high rollers, and do a high roller pitch specifically along the lines that Sean outlined in terms of appealing to them as individuals and ask each area to raise only $200,000. That would give you $1 million to work with instead of mortgaging buildings and possibly losing them forever, which they were hard won. And I haven't heard a single...
That's time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank all of you. I want to thank everyone who spoke for the passion and commitment, which was so apparent in the speaking. Oh, I'm sorry.
Another person.
We still
love you. LaVon, that was very clear.
We love you, Robert.
Good evening. My name's LaVon Williams. I'm from KPFA in Berkeley. And I'd like to say that I haven't been before you guys for a year. I was previously on the board. And really appreciate what LA KPFK has done here. I mean, I like the fiscal responsibility that you're showing here by meeting at this wonderful facility. And I just like to say that that since I have been away for a year, that, I just trust that at this point on that we will all just breathe really deeply and really put the mission of the Pacifica Foundation first, and that if we have other agendas and other things that are going to take up our time, we need to leave those alone or go home. But the other thing I'd like to say is that, this is really wonderful. See all the stations, see the directors, and that, we're inviting all the listeners to continue to contribute. We're trying to do new things, I know, and it's really, really good that if all of us working together to make these things happen, really enjoyed listening to Casey and what KPFK is doing, and that we need to continue the fundraising and do a good job. So thank you again for being here, and this facility here is just really, really beautiful. So thanks for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
Okay. Is a party, I gather, at the station. Will someone come up and tell us how we're supposed to get there and what we're supposed to do? Because I surely don't know.
First, you do yoga. You pray.
Do we have no plan here?
I don't know if we have a plan. We have an address, and if need be, we could follow. People can follow one another if they don't know the area.
Is it a walk from here, or
no? Actually, it's probably about a 4 mile trek. It definitely has to be car.
I can take four people on my SUV.
Okay. Are there people who need rides?
Are there people that need rides?
I can take four people. It's on Goenga Boulevard,
so it's that? By Langersham on the 101 North.
Adjourned.
Okay.
Let me give you the address.
Yeah, Rico?
Mr. Chair, I was wondering if we could ask, find out how many people need rides and how many people can provide rides.
Okay, I need a ride. One, two,
provide ride.
Three, four,
I can provide one.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Wait a minute, everybody on the board needs a ride.
No, not everybody. Some people aren't putting their hands up. That's eight people need a ride.
I can give a ride.
You can give one?
Oh, yeah.
I can take three.
Okay.
I can take three also.
Okay. So we've got Rico, Susan, and Sean. You need a ride or you got a ride?
Have a car.
And Dan. So hook up with those folks. No need to walk. Meeting's adjourned.